Fuzzy bread.
Fuzzy bread.
Have you ever had a dream about ringing doorbells or knocking or people calling your name, and then you wake up and you find out nobody's at the door, or the person that's calling you isn't even in the same house? Well, I have that happen to me a lot. When it happens to me, I often think of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It is a story about a young boy named Samuel who keeps hearing somebody call his name. He runs and goes to talk to a man named Eli because he thinks that Eli was calling him. But Eli didn't call him. It was somebody else. The Lord was calling him. Now, before you call me crazy or misguided, let me tell you what I do when I hear somebody calling me. If there's nobody at the front door, and if my aunt isn't in the same house, then I simply fold my hands and pray, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant listens." And then I open up my Bible. A lot of times when this phenomenon happens to me, I'll be pretty well half asleep. And when I open the Bible to a random spot in the Old Testament, and then in a randomly selected spot in the New Testament or in the epistles, I often find something that relates to my life situation, and I feel like God is actually telling me something. Sometimes I find something that doesn't make sense, so then I look elsewhere until I find something that is somewhat relevant. This might sound kind of cuckoo, and you might think that I jump to erroneous conclusions about this, but I'm very careful about what I'm looking at and what messages I'm gleaning from my readings. I feel that there are certain passages of the Bible that if you just read them on their own, they give an important message to you anyway, regardless of whether you dream funny things or not. Like if you read, "Go make disciples of all nations," that's a important message no matter what state you're in, unless you're not a Christian. So I just thought I'd share this with you in case anybody else out there has experienced a similar thing. And if you have experienced something like this, feel free to email me at akktri@yahoo.com. Once again, it is Bible time. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Open your Bibles up to Matthew 22. We will be reading from verse 23 to 33. In this chapter, Jesus is teaching, and skeptics came up to him. This is what the passage says. The same day, Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies, having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third, down to the 7th. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, to which of the 7 will she be his wife? For they all had her." But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they will neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. We have Sadducees in our day and age. There are atheists that pretend to be serious when asking us all these silly questions, which really don't need to be answered to begin with. They will ask us idiotic questions like, how many angels can fit on the head of a pin? Or, can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? Many of them are already dead set against believing in God and Jesus, but they pretend like they are open-minded when they ask these questions. What they are really doing is wasting your time. This might not always be the case, but you can tell when a person is stringing you along. If you address a question about the problem of evil, and then the person suddenly jumps to something about how they think that God is a bad designer because they did not make them into a furry rabbit cat creature, you are just being strung along. Jesus normally doesn't waste time with these types of people. When Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Jesus did not answer him. Probably because Pilate wasn't going to listen, and the two would probably be arguing about the meaning of the word truth to the end of time. I think the only reason why Jesus answered the Pharisees in Matthew 22 is because there were people around the Sadducees who were actually listening and sincerely wanted to know the answer to this question, whether or not marriage was still in existence in heaven. To this day, some people actually think that you can remain married after death. I was in a creative writing class one time, and one of the short stories that some student had written was about a person saving themselves for a person who had passed away, so that the person who died would not be jealous of them, and the two could get back together in marriage in heaven. But in actuality, that will not be happening at all. Jesus says that when we die, we will become like angels in heaven. We will be neither male nor female, not married or given in marriage. So even if Bob and Mary Jane did get back together in heaven, they would not have the same types of feelings that they had on earth. There would not be the physical attraction that there once was, because they'd be like angels in heaven. So it's not going to be like defending your life, where you can somehow go on a date to some heaven restaurant with your newfound girlfriend. And it's not going to be like Islam, where you supposedly get 12 virgins or something when you get to heaven. Isaiah 65 verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." This tells us that the afterlife will not be like Beetlejuice, where people remain as they were when they died, or that they'll have to sit in waiting rooms or their old house for eternity. It's not going to be like that. That's what Isaiah tells us. Therefore, many of the movies and fictional novels you might have seen do not give us an accurate picture of what heaven is like. Heaven will be a new thing, something that is far beyond our capacity to imagine.